if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 221. This is our 2022 Open Championship Tips podcast. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanrahan join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for the 150th Open Championship from St Andrews. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And of course, please bet responsibly. We're available on Twitter. Paul is at Golf Betting. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. I am at Bamford Golf. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. Plus, look out for the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. Our show for the Open is already available on the channel. Please subscribe and like the shows. We're trying to get through 3,000 subscribers this week. So come to the channel and make sure that you subscribe. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts as ever. For those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. This is the one that we've selected for the Open Championship. I must say, we are out, and I mean out, of 5-star reviews. So we just need some. So please, spend 30 seconds of your time. Give us a 5-star review on Apple, and you're more than likely to be read out next week for the 3M Open podcast. Right, this one is from Baz Hegarty. He's in Cork in Ireland. 5 stars all the way is the title. I've been listening to the podcast for about 12 months, and I must say it's the most in-depth and detailed golf podcast that I've had the pleasure of stumbling upon. I've set my Spotify notifications on every time you come on and thoroughly enjoy every week. He's even had a few winners. So thank you, lads. Yeah, thanks, Baz. Much brilliant. Appreciated.
Cheers, Baz. Yeah, cheers, Baz. Thanks for the positive feedback. All very much appreciated.
Right, it's the Open Championship. I don't give a damn about last week, so we won't talk about that in any way, shape or form. What I'm going to say is, Golf Betting System website, there is so much content this week and it's all free of charge. So we have Paul's in-depth betting preview. I've pulled together a long shots piece, all selections above 100 to 1. We've also got a fantastic majors form sheet, which is well worth a look. We've got, of course, our Open Championship predictive optimizer. That's available completely free of charge as well. Throw in this podcast, throw in loads of form statistics, combined course and current form stats, and Paul will also be pulling together a first round leader piece for first round leader analysis for tomorrow as well. So it's all available at golfbettingsystem.co.uk. Come and visit us. Everything is completely free. Right, let's talk 2022 Open. First thing I want to highlight before we go into the expertise of the two gents on the pod, the bookmaker I'm seeing that just seemed to be dominating on price at the Open this week are Bet365. Now, as we record the podcast, they are offering market best prices on 10 to 1 is Rory McIlroy, 16 to 1 for Xander, 20 to 1 for the last major winner, Matt Fitzpatrick. 22 to 1 on Justin Thomas, and then further down, 30 to 1 on Will Zalatoris, who is just kind of trending towards a major. 60 to 1, which was particularly eye-catching, on Max Homer. I'm seeing Max Homer at other places as short as 33 to 1. Mm. And 100 to 1 on Seamus Power. They've also gone 8 places each way, a fifth the odds as their standard each way terms this week. So for those of you wanting the best golf odds at the Open, we recommend Bet365. If you are 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account, You can find details of their current bet £10 and get £50 in free bets, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in this podcast description. So support Golf Betting System. If you haven't got a new account, Bet365 really strong this week on odds at the Open. Right. Firm and fast. 7,300 yards, par 72. And from what I saw as of last night, although I haven't checked this morning because I got out of bed late, why not? Doesn't look like a lot of wind in the forecast, chaps. Am I right or wrong on that kind of summary as a starting point? I will point out as well, episode 220 of the podcast, that is our research podcast. So we're talking there for an hour about the course, likely weather, trends, winners' trends, what we're looking for. Go and check that out.
Yeah, if we're talking weather, yes. I think, well, nothing's much changed really since we talked about it on the preview pod. And, you know, in southern England, we're going to go through this extreme high temperature spell over the next few weeks. It's not going to get quite as far north as St Andrews, but it's going to be pretty settled from what I can see. Dry and sunny spells, mid to low 70s Fahrenheit in the afternoons. 10 to 15 mile an hour, you might get 70, maybe 20 on Saturday. You look at the forecast, and before we went into the Scottish Open last week, it was very similar, looked on paper very similar. I mean, we all saw how tough that made Renaissance play. I think the wind will be a factor to a certain degree. I don't think, you know, you're not going to get this scenario where we're going back to, what was it, 2010, when Rory shot 80 in the second round in the wind after opening up with a, what do you, opened at 63 or something like that, didn't he? I'm not sure you're going to get that kind of scenario where you've got 40 mile an hour winds blowing across the course. But I think on occasion, you're going to notice the wind picking up and radar telling us that this is absolutely blowing on the course at that particular point in time. But yeah, I'm not sure it's that's going to be the biggest narrative of the week from what I can see. In terms of the setup of the course, and I'm sure you guys caught little bits and pieces of it yesterday with the Champions event and some of the commentary that's on Sky Sports. The ground looks really firm. The ground, the fairways look really firm, which you'd expect. There's no rain in the forecast, so they're going to continue to brown up and get nice and fiery, I expect. The greens themselves, and the greens are never the fastest, are they, at St Andrews? No. And, you know, you wouldn't expect them to get overly quick. But then, you know, I don't think they're going to be particularly receptive either. You're going to kind of find them releasing on the greens as well. So it should, well, overall, should be a nice test for the players, I think.
What are your views, Barry?
I hope the wind will get up a little bit more than it's forecast to. It would make for a little bit more interesting viewing. I suppose the one thing I'm seeing is that predominantly on Saturday and Sunday, the wind is mostly pumping directly out of the south, which means that going out will be quite nice, downwind, but coming back will be a bit more of a test. It's not so much out of the southwest, which is the prevailing, just that little angle change, you'll be more or less dead into the wind, which will be a real test. Even 15, 20 kilometer an hour wind dead into it will be a real test on firm conditions. So that's the hope for the entertainment. I mean, right now it looks like there'll be some reasonably deep scoring going on. You could see some lads 5-6 under through 7-8 holes.
Yeah, it's those first 12 holes, isn't it? Those first 12 holes, they're very, very scoreable. And then when you turn for home, if you've got that southwesterly prevailing, although if it is more of a southerly, yeah, it tends to get a little bit tougher, doesn't it?
Yep.
But as Paul said off mic, when you're seeing Tiger Woods drive it through 18 in that round yesterday, to the back, over the back of the green on 18.
Yeah.
It shows you how firm that golf course is playing.
Yeah, it was. There was another bit with Nick Doherty as well, Nick Doherty rather, who was talking about some of the length of the rough and how thick it was in places, and that did look quite penal in spots. So you know, it's often one of these courses where you've got such wide fairways, you know, unless you're going into a gorse bush or some of the knee-high fescue, then you can often tend to get away with some of the wild drives. But potentially there's going to be a little bit more of a premium on that this week. And also, you've got the bunkers to avoid, haven't you? Was it 112 bunkers over the course of the track? If you're finding yourself in one of those, then it's a half a shot penalty. Effectively, you're gonna have to play some kind of decent recovery shot to get yourself back into position, or wedge it into the green and take your chances from there. So yeah, it's not going to be a technical test. Never likely to be that. And no. they can tuck the pins away. They can make it challenging from that perspective. On the easier days, they're probably going to have to do to make it a reasonable test, but. What have we seen here in the past? Woods, 19 under when he won back in 2000, 14 under 2005. Oosthuizen was 16 under, and Zach, to make the playoff in 2015, 15 under for the three guys that made the playoff. So, yeah, if you were guessing as to where the winning score is, you're probably going to find it somewhere in that kind of region as well, I guess. Although I'd have said the same thing, I probably did say the same thing ahead of the Scottish Open last week, and in the end, that turned out to be quite a lot tougher than than we expected. Although we had it was kind of welcome to the DP World Tour for a lot of the guys who tend to observe just the PGA Tour over in the States, because there was this last minute switch of one of the par fives on the front nine to a par four, which flummoxed everyone. And as is the want of the DP World Tour to chop and change stuff at the 11th hour just to throw a spanner in the works, which kind of kept the total down last week, at least to a certain degree. But throw a little bit of wind at Renaissance and it did show some teeth. So probably a little bit of a better warm up than in previous years in terms of the Scottish Open.
Yeah, I think that just shows you the weather they've had up there. Mm. The fact that you can get Renaissance playing at a single digit. So, yeah, that would have been what? He won at 9 under. So, say they switch that to a 5. That's 13 under. Yeah?
Yep.
He'd have won that at.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've seen what? Minus 26 win around there before? Aaron Rye, was it?
When it's... In the tough year that Rye won, it was 11 under, I think. But yes.
There was one year where it was crazy under.
Yeah, Wiesberger made like 30 birdies there when he won 2019, which, it's not playing anything like that. So, yeah, a little bit of a better test and a little bit of a better warm-up, I think. Should we go through some of the basics first? Because I know we touched on a lot of this in the preview pod, but I guess some people won't have listened to that. So... I'll just go through a few of the very basics, and then we can go through where we think we are in terms of our, or where we know we are in terms of our selections. 150th Open Championship, as you said, full field, 156 players. Slightly different, top 70 this week, and ties make the weekend. So we kind of get used to this top 65. It's top 70 in the Open, which changes the dynamic very slightly. Interesting market. It's been chopping and changing, hasn't it, over the last few days, particularly with the way that Xander's been playing. So Rory McIlroy right now 10-1 favourite. Xander Schauffele 16-1. Xander, over the course of the last 5 or 6 days, his price has just disappeared, hasn't it? It's just gone down and down and down as punters have latched onto his decent form. John Rahm 18-1. Jordan Spieth 18-1. Scotty Scheffler, same price, 18-1. Matt Fitzpatrick 20-1, Justin Thomas 22s, Shane Lowry as long as 25-1 in some places. Then you've got the likes of Patrick Cantlay, Cam Smith 28s, 30-1 bar those players. Now you mentioned Bet365, Steve. They've got a really good blend this week, haven't they? Prices and each way terms. Lots of additional places you can pick up. Paddy Power and Betfair gone 12 each way as their standard, a fifth of the odds. Ball Sports 11 each way is standard. Betfred and Cole are 10. William Hill are 9. William Hill always interesting because they will match off the Bet365 price on the top 10 in the market. But then they add an extra place, so they've got 9 places each way. So do if you're going towards the top of the market, then take a look at William Hill. And there's also a number of bookies who are offering these differential terms as well. So you've got I think with Bet365, they've called it their each way extra proposition, but there's similar kind of things with a number of bookies where you can get all manner of different price combination or price and each way terms combinations as well. Yeah, we've talked about the course in principle, haven't we? 7,313 yard par 72, an old Tom Morris design. Wide fairways, double greens, exposed undulating links. Essentially, it's a traditional links, isn't it? Gorse bushes, some pretty thick rough, as I just said. Right, fairways running fast. Plenty to catch up on over the next day or two as well, if you want to get a view of how the course is playing, because they'll have lots of coverage on Sky Sports as well. If you look back historically at the kind of winning prices we've got as well, recent past, 2010, I'll go back as far as 2010, Louis Oosthuizen won at 250-1. Darren Clark, 200-1 in 2011. Ernie Els was 45s in 2012. Lefty was 20-1 in 2013 when he went back-to-back Scottish Open and Open Championship. Rory won at 18s in 2014. Zach Johnson was 110-1 when he won here back in 2015. Last time he came to St Andrews for an Open Championship. Henrik Stenson, 33s. Jordan Spieth was 16-1 in 2017. Francesco Molinari, 33-1 in 2018. Shane Lowry as high as 70-1 in 2019. No event in 2020, of course. And then Colin Morikawa last year, 40-1. If you could overlook his finish at the Scottish Open the week before, he kind of tailed off from the players that ended up making the cut and putted particularly badly just to throw everyone right off the scent. But yeah, I won't go through all of the trends that we covered in the preview pod because there's a good hour worth of chat on there. So if you do want to go through some of the deeper trends and analysis, then have a look on there. I'll just mention a few of the ones that I've picked out in my preview. And again, if you want to read about this in a little bit more depth, then just flick through to the site and you can see where I'll put some words to the soundbite that I'll give you just now. The key ones for me. Current form goes without saying, really, doesn't it? But if you look back, since 2010, each winner of the Open Championship had a top three in their last 7 outings. And in fact, the last 5 Open Championships, the winner had a top 2 in one of their last 3 outings. In terms of a season form, 15 of the last 21 winners, so going back all the way to 2000, had a win in that season. In terms of the Open Championship itself, 9 of the last 11 winners had a top 10 to their name at the Open Championship prior to their victory. Now, the other point that we've picked out and we've talked about a number of times in these pods and the preview pods is their players' performance in recent majors. So Scheffler had finished 8th at the Open Championship last year before he won the Masters. Justin Thomas had finished 8th at the Masters before winning the USPGA. Matt Fitzpatrick had finished 5th at the USPGA before winning the US Open last month. So that's 8th, 8th, 5th for the last 3 winners of major championships in their preceding major. And that trend goes back, we've gone back quite a long way in the preview pod, so you can catch some of that, some of that analysis, but yeah, it seems to be that playing well in a recent major or the most recent major tends to bode well for players coming into majors right now. The other point to pick out: world ranking. If you go back all the way to 2000 again, 19 of the 21 winners had ranked 55th or better in the world before their win. So Ben Curtis in 2003, Darren Clark 2011 were the only people who kind of defied that stat. So it's some pretty solid numbers and some pretty solid trends to get your teeth into if that's the way that you're inclined to do your pre-analysis for golf tournaments. Of course, could be thrown completely out of the window and we could be looking at someone from left field, but But who knows? Don't know. For you guys, what are the key stats out of those? Or was there something else that you were looking for in particular that would determine who you backed this week?
Can I just say, of course, I'm the host. I can say what I want. I keep hearing that St Andrews is a bomber's course. I keep hearing it over and over again. I kept hearing it in 2015. It's bomber's course, and I fell into the trap. Bomber's course, bomber's course. It's all about driving distance and guys with a short game who can putt. And Zach Johnson won.
Yep.
I think it's the exact opposite.
And everyone was like, bloody Zach Johnson, 125-1. And he came in with, he finished second place or third place the week before and a fifth before that. He was in red hot form. Zach Johnson won. And I'm just thinking to myself, we've got a golf course now that's rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling, and it's Monday. There's no rain whatsoever in the forecast. I can guarantee you they are not getting any kind of local fire service to go there and hose the course. Mm. That's not going to happen. I genuinely think that any shape or form of golfer can be competitive this week, from your short, straight hitters that can still be getting the ball out there 350 yards with the roll on these fairways, to even, you know, the bombers are still in play, as you know, but they're going to have to be clubbing down 3 woods, 5 woods, even irons off tees, because it's going to be that kind of open. It's an open we haven't seen for quite a period of time, a really fast open.
Yeah.
2018 was the last one, wasn't it?
Carnoustie. 2018 was. The only thing with 2018, I'm looking at the leaderboard right now. Molinari won, Kisner second, McIlroy, Rose, Xander. Then we had Chapel, Pepperell, Woods tied for sixth. Finau, Kuchar, Spieth tied for ninth. Cantlay, Fleetwood, Ryan Moore, Thorbjørn Olsen and Webb Simpson, T12s.
Yeah.
But that was one at 8 under. Those guys in, at 12 under, at T2 at 12 were 3 under par. We're not going to see that scoring. We're not going to see technical scoring. I think it's going to be towards those that 8, 17 to 19 under par kind of level.
No, that's, I agree with that.
But that does show you golfers that can play in firm golf course, a firm links golf course.
Yep. And there's a number of names. There's a number of relatively short hitters in that list you've just read through.
Yeah,
as well.
Molinari and Kisner were first and Ty second. Yeah,
yeah.
I think
Eddie Pepperell wouldn't exactly call Eddie a bomber.
No.
Kuchar, Spieth.
I think there's going to be such a premium on accuracy off the tee this week, and not just hitting fairways, but hitting the right area of the fairways, because they have to tuck these pins away. And if you're coming from the rough, you haven't a hope of getting close to them. So you're going to be putting from 50, 60 foot in those situations. So the more fairways you can hit, the more control you can have the spin of your ball to try feed it towards tucked pins. So I genuinely think this could, like, it's the, probably the most, it looks like it's setting up to be the most fair and open championship in a long time in terms of, everybody can compete if you're hitting the ball really well and to the right places. But you need to do that a high percentage of the time to be up there this week.
Mm. I don't know if you caught the conversation with Rory McIlroy as they were playing the Champions event yesterday, but he was talking about how you can play relatively safe to the left-hand side of fairways here, and that makes the approach shots tougher in general, or you can play to the right, which is more of a risk, but then that opens up a lot of the greens and you can tend to be able to score better. So given that there's going to be likely scenarios here where players are taking far less than driver off green, off the tee to find themselves in position, it's going to lend itself to players that have that creativity or the ability to think and plot their way around and kind of manage the game, I guess. If you're one-dimensional, you're taking driver off every tee, you're going to be able to fly some of the bunkers and some of the worst of the trouble. But is that really going to present you with the best scoring opportunities there? Because as we've all just said, I think, you know, you're going to need to get into that kind of mid-teens number to be competitive by Sunday Sunday afternoon. Yeah. So you can't go out, round and just play a conservative game because you won't get anywhere near the lead.
Mm. Even though the course has got to play a bit easier in terms of scoring than we'd all obviously like, it's the way it's been, the way the setup looks right now. St. Andrews will play strategically like the way it should do. Where at what point in the hole do you want to take on the risk? Do you want to take it on the tee shot to give yourself an easier second shot? Or do you want to delay the risk by taking an easier tee shot and having a harder second shot?
Yeah,
so it'll be strategically as probably as good as it can play, or at least I hope that's the way it is for St. Andrews versus the modern equipment and modern golf ball.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. Should be enthralling. I'm really looking forward to this week, I must say.
Just to go back to your previous major appearance angle, which is fantastic and true, we can expand it. Lefty tied 21st before he won the PGA last year. Hideki was in the top 13 before he won the Masters. That would have been the previous Masters, I believe.
Yes. It went Masters, didn't it?
So let's go top 14 at the USO, yeah? So that takes us well deep into the 20s in terms of players. But these were the guys. So tied for 14th in this field, Cantlay, Leishman, Migliozzi, Munoz. He's an interesting name. Guy that can go low, Munoz. Crazy low. I didn't include him in my long shots. Probably should have done. Xander, Scott, Tringali. Well, you know me. I'm not including Tringali in anything. I mean, it was another Cornetto job last week when he got to the lead. Mm. Tie for 12th, John Rahm, Seamus. Gary Woodland was 10th. Then we're up to 7th place, Keegan. Top fives, Morikawa, McIlroy. Hideki was 4th. Zalatoris tied 2nd with Scheffler, Matt Fitzpatrick. Very selective.
Yeah, and you know, if what we've seen in recent times holds true, then you know the winner is very likely there in that list. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Be interesting. And you're saying needed a top two finish in their last three, did you say?
Yeah. That's a very, five-year trend. I mean, if you go back to the start of 2010, a top three finish in one of their last seven, it just feels like you need to have had that contending or semi-contending kind of performance over the recent past to give yourself the almost the confidence and belief that you can go forward and contend and compete at a major championship and the Open Championship in particular. And it certainly seems to have rung true over the last few years. The trend's always there to be broken, and you know, sometimes we, as punters, we can get hung up on trying to follow them to the nth degree. So, what I tend to do personally is, if there's someone who obviously fits and ticks every single box, and there's no reason for you to try and oppose them, then you just kind of bow down to that. But outside of that, if you're trying to find a little bit of value, then those players who kind of tick almost all the boxes and just fail on one or two of the elements, they're the ones that potentially are going to be the ones that add you a little bit of value further down the line.
If golf betting was mathematical and you know could be derived by statistics alone, it would be a very, very easy game.
Yeah, we'd all be winning every week.
So what do you guys
look at? It kind of makes it easier. You said this off mic, Barry. It kind of makes it easier, but it kind of makes it more difficult because you've got all these guys, Fitzpatrick, Scheffler, Zalatoris. I mean, you could back them all, couldn't you? They're all playing bloody good golf.
It's hard to pick one or two attributes to use to put a black mark or black line through some names, which I guess is what makes the course brilliant. Because it can, you know, truly everybody in this field can, in theory right now, compete for this this trophy. The thing is, it's been scrambling my head, and I've been trying, the one thing I've been trying the hardest to avoid is just overthinking things, trying to find that funky angle where it probably just doesn't exist. So I've been looking quite simple things, driving accuracy, Greens and regulation and 3-putt avoidance are the ones I've really focused on this week.
And what's that brought to the party then? Tell us.
It's brought me some long shots so far, and I'm trying to figure out where I land on one or two shorties.
Well, I tell you what, let's do this differently than we usually do. Let's actually go through the longer shots first. I've got 4, which are in my long shots piece, but I'll let you go first, Baron.
Okay, the first one that I landed on was based on the conditions being firm and fast, no requirement for massive length off the tee. Previous good performance in an Open Championship on firm and fast course, which was second in 2018. And to grab that angle of price versus official world golf ranking, it's the no-brainer bet of the week for me. It's Kevin Kisner. So I grabbed him on the exchange last week at high 200s, and he is available at 250-1 for the world number 25. Driving at,
I took 250-1 yesterday with Bet365 8 places. I just couldn't believe the price.
He is 19th in driving accuracy on tour. He falls down on 3-putt avoidance. And he's 84th in greens. The one I kind of jumped from greens and reg to greens or fringe in regulation, because of the massive size of these greens.
Yep,
they are huge.
So, I mean, look, he doesn't fit in all the statistical boxes, but enough of them there for me to just no way am I avoiding that bet.
Oh yeah, at that price, second at it was second behind Molinari, wasn't it? There's enough to like there for a 250-1 shot. I'll grant you that. And then you picked up some fancy prices on the exchange, didn't you? As you said, but the 250 with 250-1 with 8 places seems very.
He was 6th last time out at the Travelers. Putted lights out. I think he was top 6 strokes game putting. But yeah, he just played like Kevin Kisner does. Not long off the tee, hit plenty of fairways, hit plenty of greens, and his scrambling was superb. 4th for scrambling that week at the Travelers. Yeah, this isn't a long golf course. 7,300 yards, medium. It's going to be playing firm and fast. I think it's right in Kisner's wheelhouse. And we've always said, and I'm repeating myself, if there's a major that Kisner could win, it would be the Open, because put him on a 7,700-yard Parkland golf course in America and he's got no chance. Mm. And he admits it readily. So, yeah, that's great. I'm on with you on Kevin Kisner. I'm just trying to look at what prices are out there if you want to take the additional. I mean, as Paul said, that top 8 and 250 market leading with Bet365 was something I couldn't really. I mean, Skybet of 125-1, as are Boyles. And then you're getting double the price on Bet365 with still 8 places. I think that's a nice spot to be in. So that's Kevin Kisner. What other longer prices have you got, Baron?
Read for Patriot Bet with Seamus Power. So, you know, we're
all on that.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to talk about, like, he's an Irishman, so like, Lynx golf is in the blood. He's 54th on tour for driving accuracy. He's tied 74th in 3-putt avoidance. And he's 13th in greens or fringe in regulation, which was a nice one for me to see as well. So
lovely.
Just to back you up a little bit on Seamus, Barry. For me,
please.
Steve said we're all on Seamus, and I think quite rightly as well. And there's 100-1 being dangled out there with some extra places at the moment as well. And for a brief period yesterday, Betfair went up with 12 places each way, 100-1, which just had to be snapped up, didn't it?
I grabbed that. Yeah,
snap.
Yeah,
it's if you look. I mean, if you go back just over 12 months ago, he was, what, 400th in the world, 450th, something like that, all the way up to 36th now. He's got that win under his belt, lots of decent top 10s as well. But it's the kind of elite level tournaments that have really caught my eye, because I think you backed him at the World Match Play, didn't you, with the top eight. So you got an each-way payout there in three figures when he made it through to the quarterfinals, which is a really good finish for him on debut there at the WGC Match Play. 27th on Masters debut, 9th on USPGA debut, 12th US Open debut. Those last two events, the PGA and the US Open, he was on the wrong side of the draw both times and finished 9th and 12th. And yeah, this guy seems to be someone who's readily able to lift his game at the biggest events. And if you're getting extended places about a player at three figures or thereabouts, who's demonstrably capable of performing at these events, going back to a links course, this is an Irishman, you know, if you go back through his formative years of golf, he'd have been playing links all the time as a youngster. And he came back to the Irish Open 30th there. Actually, that was a personal best on the Irish Open. That was probably more just to see friends and family and to kind of get himself acclimatised, I'd have thought. But three rounds of 68 during the course of that event. And comes in ready and raring to go. He did have a little spin out of the JP Manus, Steve, didn't he? I noticed you mentioned that. Was he top 15 or thereabouts?
15, yeah.
So
I think it was weird. It was weird at the Irish Open. He started going backwards when it started to rain on the Saturday.
Mm.
But up until that point, he was right in contention. Yep. And we said all along that Irish Open, very, very difficult for actually Irish top class to win it. I know Lowry's won it as an amateur. Padraig's won it, but it's not an easy tournament for Irish to actually take their home open. So yep. he performed okay. He was okay at the JP.
Yep.
100 to 1, 12 places. It was just plain wrong, wasn't it? So snap, have that.
Like, and there's another one there, 100 to 1, 12 places, and he's 37th in the OWGR.
Mm.
There's a mismatch. Yep. I mean, I don't know.
You can still get him at 80 to 1 with Betfair Sportsbook, 12 places.
That's a miss.
He's 100 to 1. Best price out there, 100 to 1 with 8 places with Bet365. Yeah, it's just a mismatch, isn't it? It's a Kevin Kisner.
Yep.
At the end of the day, there's so open at the top, they've got to push down great players, yeah, and I'd put him in that category. He's, decent player, isn't he? I genuinely thought, I mean, I didn't know as much about him as you do, Barry. You followed him for a long time. He came across, because he came from the Corn Ferry, and he'd get 10ths and 9ths, and it took him for a long time to build up his PGA Tour status. I just didn't think he was the kind of player that could play at majors, but he's proven that wrong. So, more than happy to get on board.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, guys that struggle to get off the KFT, which is a different style of golf. It's just like a barrage of birdies, it seems, on a week-in, week-out basis. But, guys that can get through that, like slip through that net, they get into the next stage, and then you're given a different set of questions to answer at majors, and you happen to have the skill sets that really match up well to that. And so far, it looks like Seamus really has that in abundance. So he's two top 12s out of his three major appearances. You'd have cast your, if you got the extended places, you'd have each way payout both times.
Yep,
he was one under at the PGA, and he was one over at the US Open to get those top 9 and top 12 finishes. This just feels far more Seamus Parry, because we're talking about mid-teens to be getting in the picture for an each-way payout. That feels Parry-ish because he's such a good scorer.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think it's right up his alley. I really do. So we're both on power. We're all on power. And there's a lot of support here for Kisner. You got any others at triple digits, or
you go next? I feel like
I've got okay. there's definitely a pattern. The last three opens, we have seen the last three opens, triple digit guys come in and place each way in terms of so their previous major, they are in the top 12, 14. They then take a full each-way place at the Open. Xander did it when he finished second. Last time around, we saw Mackenzie Hughes do it. Mackenzie Hughes was 350-1. We also had Danny Willett do it. He was 12th at the US Open. He then got a top 10 finish 2019 when Lowry won, 125-1. So I was quite simple about this. I just went through the last US Open. Bradley 7th, Woodland 10th, Power 12th. We then had Leishman, Migliozzi, Munoz, Scott and Tringali, top 14. So I just thought, I'm definitely putting Kisner in. What other ones from there will I take? So I've taken Power. I've taken Gary Woodland, who was 10th at the US Open. I think he was 6th for tee to green that week. He's a Pebble Beach US Open winner. I just took 125-1, bet 3, 6, 5, 8 places each way on Woodland. He also showed quite nicely last week, didn't he? 64 in round one. Was then second going into the weekend, ninth into Sunday, fell away. Whether that was design, just didn't want to, or that, who knows? But he's in good touch, Gary Woodland, and he putted. If how many times have we said this? If you actually, his tee to green game at the US Open at Brookline was top level, top six. He then putted, I believe, top five last week at the Scottish Open on fescue mixed greens that are very similar to these. If we can get Gary putting well and playing just as well. And it just feels that way, doesn't it? Club down golf with his power. He can hit it straight. He's got the low attack. I've always thought with Woodland, there's a bit of open, something in there you can tap into at an open. I think he was sixth at Troon, going quite deep into the tournament when Stenson and Mickelson were having their
duel, yeah.
Their duel. And he's had a 12th at, he's definitely had a 12th at an open. So yeah, I'm on Woodland at 125-1.
The 12th was that year, 2016 in Troon.
Yeah.
Which is
I think that, also the year after that, it might have been Birkdale. I think he was in the top four going into the weekend and fell away completely. There's something there. The other one I took, I'm quite big on trying to get players that need something imminently, and I genuinely believe that Mark Leishman could do with a good result. And we know with Leishman, he's got a decent heritage in majors. He's got a decent heritage at Augusta National. And there's so many links to this. He's had a bad season. But even when you say he's had a bad season, 30th at the Masters, 34th at the PGA, 14th last time out at the US Open. If he can actually hit some fairways this week, and you know they're pretty damn wide here.
Yeah,
Leishman's approach game and putting and whatever's, yeah, that's not in question really.
Yeah.
So I took Leishman as well, 110-1. I took with bet 365 on the 8 places. I believe I'm just scanning. I think there's still 125-1 about Leishman with Unibet. Yeah, 7 places. He's a short 66s with Paddy Power and Betfair paying the 12. So my long shots were Power, Leishman, Woodland, Kisner. And I wouldn't put anyone off a Munoz. Potentially even Keegan Bradley, but I couldn't quite get there. I couldn't quite get there with Keegs.
No,
well, how much of that performance at Brookline was the fact that he was playing in New England and everyone, he was being treated like Tiger Woods that week, getting standing ovations every time he walked up the middle of the fairway on every hole.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's something in that. I think one of those guys is going to place at triple digits. One of those guys that got in the top 14 in the US Open is just choosing the right ones.
And one of the wins be nice.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised, and I'll be, as you mentioned earlier, looking at some first round leader punts, but I wouldn't be surprised to see either of those names, Bradley and Munoz, playing well in the first round. Obviously, got to take into consideration what the draw looks like and if they get onto a more favourable side of the draw.
Yeah, it looks calmer in the afternoon. It has done all the way through the last sort of five to six days. So I think maybe afternoon starters for first round leader.
We'll need to take a late view of it tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, and see what that looks like in conjunction with the tea times, which should be out by then. It should be out later this afternoon here in the UK. So. But yes, they're the kind of names where you can see them stringing a really strong round together at some point. And if that's in the first round, then potentially that's the way to play those guys. Because, yeah, seeing them hanging about to the bitter end of the tournament, yeah, it feels a bit more of a stretch, doesn't it? Does for me, anyway.
Okay, let's move up the board then. Players we think have got a real, real good chance of winning this week.
We just talked about Kisner. Come on, don't be ridiculous.
It's done. Yeah. Don't need to go any further than that. I mean, if we go back to the preview pod, I picked out six players that ticked every box. So I'll just remind listeners of those six players, or if you didn't listen to the preview pod, just to let you know who they were. The six that ticked every single box were Scotty Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Xander Schauffele, Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama. No real surprises in there. You know, there's six names towards the top of the betting that you could build a very strong case for. But I don't know. Of those six, I think you can pick a hole or two in most of them. And Scheffler, early season, he was incredible, wasn't he? He was absolutely unstoppable, Masters champion. He was winning, you know, virtually every other tournament that he was playing in and contending in one since. It's not as if he's not been contending since. He's just kind of dropped off that very, very peak of his performance. And I think you're going to have to have it all together this week. You're going to have to be at your very best to win this tournament with the stellar field and you know, the home of golf, which is going to have its own challenges and attractions, I guess. So yeah, Scheffler, I couldn't quite make a case for. Rory McIlroy has been playing some strong golf in patches without kind of keeping it, particularly in the majors, without kind of keeping it together for all four rounds, and that does concern me a little bit. He's talking up his game, and I can understand that. It seems to think that he's in potentially the best shape that he has been to get another Open Championship under his belt, and you know, he should be the best judge of that, I guess. Whether he throws in that one round that just takes him out of the tournament or just prevents him from actually being in a position to win, we shall see. John Rahm, I don't know how much you the Scottish Open you guys caught, but there was some kind of angry John elements in there once again, which I think you're going to need to be quite serene, aren't you, to win an Open. Things aren't going to go your way. There's going to be bad bounces. You're going to get yourself into a bunker that leaves you an impossible shot. And if you're just throwing all your toys out of the pram at that point, I don't think that's any good for your prospects, really. I struggle with John. Spieth, some real brilliance again last week. If there was going to be a couple of players at the top, I was going to back. I came close to Spieth. But then there's just that. You know, he makes a fantastic birdie or eagle and then just throws in a silly mistake to follow it up. And I don't think you can do that at the Open. And Matsuyama, I don't think we ever quite know where he is with his injuries. He could be fighting fit and he could really contend this week. Just a bit of a risk at the price. So, and I know you guys managed to snare some really strong anti-post prices on Xander Schauffele, but I had to back him this week. I had to back him. When I put him up yesterday in my preview, 14-1, that was the best price that was out there. There's been a little bit of lengthening since. There's a couple of places gone to 16-1, but I've personally just gone win only, 14-1, Xander Schauffele at the top of the market. I know you guys have got a view on Xander as well, but he's difficult to oppose, isn't he?
How can you? It sounds like a broken record, but back to Carnoustie 2018, performed there. And that week when I backed Francesco, I'm just getting like flashbacks to it. I remember saying in the preview pod, I have to back Molinari because if he wins, I can see us recording next week and saying, well, of course he won. He was playing the best out of anybody in the world at the time, and at the time he was. And right now, like, tell me who's playing better than Xander.
There's not, is there, he won the Travelers, won the JP McManus Pro-Am, won the Scottish Open last week. Yeah, it wasn't without any drama to win the Scottish, but it got there in the end. He's at the very top of his game. Yeah, you know, we've all talked about Xander over the last few years and his seeming inability to convert regular tournaments. Now he's got two in the space of the last few weeks. A bona fide PGA Tour event at the Travelers, a very well attended co-sanctioned event last week at the Scottish Open. Perfect warm-up. I know a lot of people in the past have talked about the Scottish Open and it, particularly Renaissance, about it not being a particularly good warm-up for the Open, but that was far more in line and aligned with what an Open Championship warm-up should be last week. And I don't know. You get a bit sniffy about his price, I guess. So 16 to 1, let's call it that. But he tends to be in that kind of 18, 20, 22 to 1 price point anyway.
Yeah, I've backed him at Masters in the past at that price point, and he was nowhere near coming in off three straight wins. So I don't think the price is a bad price overly. 16 to 1.
Yeah.
You wouldn't mind that as a winner come the end of the week next Sunday, would you?
No, I don't think so. We've seen Lefty do this Scottish Open Championship double, so it's not unreasonable to assume that it can be done again, or will be done again. Ticks that box in terms of previous major, 14th at the US Open, as you read through just a few moments ago, Steve. Second at Carnoustie back in 2018. We talked about Augusta and how that links into St Andrews as well, and we know that Xander's got a fantastic record in all the majors without actually winning one. But he's got a couple of top three finishes at Augusta as well, which does tend to be a common theme of winners here at St Andrews. So yeah, every angle I looked at, every conceivable argument or counter argument pointed in the same direction. So why resist? Xander Schauffele, it's got to go in at the top, I think. No question.
We're all on Xander.
Yeah.
Barry and I were fortunate enough to pick up the 33 to 1 last Friday, boosted by Bet365. Thank you, Bet365. That was very kind of you.
It was funny watching those boosts over the weekend because there was a lot of social media interest in there. So 33s, and the next boost was 28s, then the next boost was 25s and 22s. And, you know, Xander's been boosted to 20s. It's the liabilities must have grown massively over the weekend on all the books because it was just an absolute sea of blue. But quite rightly too, I think I think he has got a very strong chance of securing his first major this week. I've got a couple of mid prices. I'll just rattle through them and then we can see if you guys have got any others. Louis Oosthuizen I've backed at 40 to 1 with 12 places. You can get 50 to 1 with 8 places with 365, but I took the extra places on Louis. He won here in 2010 by 7 strokes. He was part of that playoff as well, wasn't he, with Zach Johnson and Mark Leishman back in 2015. So two attempts in major championships at St Andrews, first and playoff defeat. All over the majors last year as well, wasn't he, Louis? Second at the US PGA, second at the US Open, third at the Open Championship. Not anywhere near as impressive this year, and that's why we're getting a price that's about twice as long as it was for those back-end majors last year. But if you look into some of his recent form, it's not all that bad. 10th at Centurion at that first LIV event, 8th at the BMW International Open, on the DP World Tour, 5th at the LIV Portland event last time out. Saw a little bit of him in that Champions event yesterday as well, and he looked really good, making putts, driving well, big smile on his face, lots of money in his back pocket, of course, with the LIV money, but that's enough to put a smile on many people's faces, I guess. I think he's got a good chance this week, Louis, of making the frame. Let's hope he can stay fit and healthy, because that is always the consideration with Louis Oosthuizen. And the other one I've backed is a perennial major favourite each way punt, and that's Tony Finau, 50 to 1. I backed him at 50-1 with 10 places. There's still 50-1 out there. I think you're taking 8 places now to get the 50s, but plenty of options for punters this week. 45s with extended places out there, 40s with you know, 10, 12 places in some places as well. So do shop about. 10 major top 10s for Tony Finau from 25 starts. That puts into context how frequently he makes those, or makes the frame at a major championship. And for me, he's always worth a look at an each-way price, particularly the price here. I mean, we've seen him before, haven't we? 28s, 30s, 33s at majors. And it kind of makes you question, really, whether he's an each-way punt. But at 40, 50-1, I think there's plenty worse bets out there. Tee to green. Strokes gained tee to green is where, if you look back, we've got some stats, and again, the stats on the site for the Dunhill Links over the last couple of years. There's some very limited strokes gained data. But both of those wins for Victor Perez and Danny Willett saw them both playing particularly well from strokes gained tee to green perspective. Tony Finau, 9th on tour for the season to date, strokes gained tee to green. So that ties in nicely. Talking of the Dunhill Links, he's played there twice, 2 top 10 finishes as well from his 2 starts. So he's got some experience of St Andrews as part of that rota. Played 5 Open Championships, 2 of them he's finished in the top 10. Never finished outside the top 30 in an Open Championship. And his incoming form's good. 4th at Colonial, 2nd at the Canadian Open, 13th last time out at the Travellers. Putted really well at the Canadian Open as well, which is always a mark in the notebook against Tony Finau. If he's started to play some good golf with his, or started to putt well to combine with his normally tidy long game, then he's always worth a look. And not much water around here, Steve. I know anywhere where you see Tony Finau and a bit of water on the course, it's a big cross next to his name.
He's pretty much dry here, isn't he? I think he could probably drive it in the first. He'll put it in that burn before the first green a couple of times, and that's probably just, it'll be okay.
The only patch of water on the course, and he'll manage to find it. But I thought Finau at a 50s was worth a punt. So at the top of the market, Xander, Louis, and Tony Finau for me. Any sub 3-figure plays for you, Barry?
Kind of mid range play I got was Max Homa. I can't get away from Max. I just keep like I said about on the US Open. I think he's just adding pieces to the puzzle every time, figuring it out, level up, level up, level up. And like, I plucked him on the exchange at 120s, and I just need to find the right combination of price and places for an each way. So like, he's 60-1 with 8 places on Bet365. So I'll have to just figure that out over the next, I'll probably take that because he's as short as 33s with 12 places on Paddy Power and Betfair, which shows me the bookies have figured him out.
He was another one. There were a few that showed their hand a bit at the Scottish Open, and their price just turned into a sea of blue. And Max Homa was one of those guys. So his price has taken a bit of a battering. That exchange price is beautiful that you got there.
That was lovely, yeah. He's down to 70 on the exchange now. So he's 50-1 with Boyle Sports 11 places, probably the most attractive one I could see there on the board of a combo. I think I'll just grab that little bit on Max. That's kind of the way I've been betting recently. Just try maximize the wins by grabbing some on the exchange on the win only, and then an each way. So just kind of blend my stakes across that.
Yep.
Unless it's Kisner, in which case I've gone for broke. Be going on a very extravagant trip to St Andrews to play there if Kisner does this.
You never know. You never know.
There's a guy in this field that's finished 6th at the Masters, 2nd at the PGA, 2nd at the US Open, and he's 30-1. Will Zalatoris. Why is he 30-1? With Bet365. Anyway, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm taking Will. Wide fairways, you'll be able to club down. not the straightest off the tee, so that actually does him a favour. Approach plays fantastic, isn't he? I noticed he was quite good on the three-putt avoidance as well. Also, you look at our variable that we keep around firm golf courses for the predictor model. He's already sitting in the top 12 and he's only been playing on the tour 2 or 5 years. That's a 5-year cyclical number. Just loves firm golf courses, tougher, classical kind of major championship types of test. So 30-1, bet 365, 22-1 in the main with all the extended books out there. I'll take Will.
Yeah, I guess because there was no spark last week, that's his price.
Well, there was no spark with Colin Morikawa last week, was it? Last year, was there? No, he won at 40-1.
That's why his price hasn't shifted, really. And it's only the guys that that really showed something last week. But it's odd with Zalatoris that he's, you know, we know he's good from tee to green. He hits a lot of greens in regulation, which is kind of his trademark. But his putting just goes off the charts when he hits a major championship for whatever reason. And if he takes to the greens here at St Andrews, then again, it wouldn't be a surprise to see him in the mix.
There's two I haven't decided yet. I mean, JT at 22s, that sounds ridiculous to me. Ridiculously good. And Patrick Cantlay is the other one. He's been absolute poo in majors, really. But his recent form is very, very strong. And I just think that, look, Patrick and Xander at the moment are just dragging each other along. They won that team event at New Orleans. And since then, both of them have just been playing some outstanding golf. You look at Cantlay, third at the Memorial, 14th at the US Open. He was 13th at the Travelers, but was second going into Sunday and then just had a brain.
It was an odd final day, wasn't it?
It was an odd final day. And then last week, 20th after going into the weekend, 17th, shot a 67 on Sunday to finish fourth. So, yeah, I think I'm going to have to back Cantlay as well because he also fits in that top 14, 14th at the US Open in his last major. 28-1 with William Hill, 9 places each way. I think I might have to just take that. The other thing with Cantlay, you look at his record, winner at Pebble Beach, does seem to play coastal courses well when they played them over in the United States. So, yeah, I think I've been sucked into... Well, we know we're into Xander. I've taken Will and I think I'll take Cantlay. Just a player, especially when you look at those winning prices, an informed player that's just kind of off the back of the leading pack price-wise. Cantlay and Zalatoris kind of fits that, 28-1 and 30-1. I think that's me at that stage.
There's plenty of players you can make a case for, which goes back to Barry said right at the start. It's just a very, very open championship.
Very, very open.
An open.
I remember the first major of this year, we had 12, was it 12 or 14 players sub 22-1? And now this year, we've got this open, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there's only 5 players, sub 22-1. Scheffler, Fitzpatrick, Spieth, Rahm, Xander.
So what does that say? That the bookies were getting greedy? Or they hadn't a clue?
What does it say? You know, you got JT at 22-1.
Yeah, and again, that's last week. You know, I was on him last week. He was on the wrong side of the draw. The guys that went out in the afternoon on Thursday, it was around about 3.5 shots difference in the morning. So, you know, if you've gone out and you've played in the worst of the weather, you played yourself out of the golf tournament, you're just effectively down tools at that point and accept you've got a weekend off and treat it as a positive and you've got an extra weekend to focus your game for St Andrews. In a way, the price you're getting then doesn't factor that potential scenario in, really. Miscut kind of suggests that he was playing poorly, but that's not necessarily the fact of the matter.
I don't think you get, I mean, it's not a negative, but I don't think you get many Open Championship winners that have done anything the week before at the Scottish Open, apart from Phil Mickelson. It's just a tune-up, isn't it, for most of them?
Yeah, a lot of them is.
I mean, in Molinari, Lowry and Morikawa, the last three winners, I mean, Molinari didn't even play the Scottish Open, Lowry didn't, and Morikawa finished 71st, so it's meaningless, really, in my mind. But yes, I'm fishing in that kind of 28, 30s kind of market this week. And of course, I managed to thankfully get Xander at 33s with the boost, so it's all good. I think that might be just about us, yes, chaps? Anything I've missed?
No, all good. Best of luck with your bets, boys.
You boys too.
Best of luck. Best of luck to the listeners. If you are new to the Golf Betting System podcast, we will be back next week for the 3M Open on the PGA Tour. Have you got the... Is it the Cassoo Classic, Paul?
It's, yeah, Hillside. So, off to...
Southport.
Yeah, so where they played the British Masters a few years ago. So that's a good one.
Tommy's one, yeah.
That's
so, nice. So come back, follow us. We will be here until the end of November because we're here from January through to November pretty much every week. That's the Golf Betting System podcast. Right, I hope all of your bets go well. Enjoy the Open and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the Golf Betting System. The Golf Betting System is the Golf Betting System podcast.